May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 619, 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great, cannot perfect bliss create. Hymn 619.
Thank you. We'll read from God's holy word, from Job chapter 8 and a part of chapter 9. Job chapter 8 and a part of chapter 9. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things? How long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." Then Job answered and said, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him, and hath prospered. Which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars. Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away, who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou?" May the Lord help us in prayer. O Lord, Almighty and most gracious God. We do pray for thy help now in coming before thee in worship, and before thy holy name in thy presence. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And O Lord, grant us that true reverence and godly fear, yet that faith, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that we may have that joy and peace in believing. Through thy precious name, O Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do teach us. O Lord, do lead us. Do, Lord, reveal unto us the truth. And O Lord, that we may, with a softened, humbled heart, receive the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, do come, do help us, we pray. Grant, O Lord, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Grant me that help in speaking, to speak thy word. O Lord, we do pray. Grant thy favour upon us. And O Lord, our souls, O Lord, do grant a refreshing. O Lord, do grant a feeding, that we may feed upon thee, O Lord, in spirit and in truth. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant thy blessing upon the friends here, both those in the church and congregation here and those who may be visiting. O Lord, we do pray for thy gracious hand to be upon them, to help them, to favour them, O Lord. O Lord, we do pray for thy blessing upon our friends, the deacons here, O Lord, that thou would strengthen them and help them. Grant, O Lord, a godly increase, we pray, in the church and congregation, that thy name may be glorified. And, O Lord, that witness may go forth, even in this village and neighbourhood, of so great a salvation. And we do pray there might be those who should come in seeking to know the truth as it is in Jesus, seeking the truth. And, O Lord, thou didst say, and thy word is true, eternally true, they that seek shall find. And, O Lord, we do pray that there may be, by thy grace, a true finding of a precious Christ, of mercy and of grace, and of that true light to shine upon our path, that true help, that true comfort. And, O Lord, that we may know that true mercy and grace, that true righteousness in Christ Jesus the Lord. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant a blessing upon the churches, where thy name is honoured and glorified. Thy servants may be helped and strengthened and blessed. My own pastor at home, do grant him thy abundant favour. And, O Lord, thy rich mercy upon all thy servants. And, O Lord, especially the churches in persecution and in other lands, amidst violence, amidst war, famine. O Lord, do grant thy help, we pray, thy great mercies. Do, O Lord, be with those that are imprisoned for thy name's sake, or have had to flee their homes, or whose copies of the Bible have been burnt and have been threatened, yea, even beaten. O Lord, thy word says, be thou faithful even unto death. And, O Lord, in our comfortable life here, we would not be ungrateful, but, O Lord, we do wonder, how should it be with us? Would we still be here in thy house? Would we still follow thee? To, O Lord, grant us that grace to stand, and having done all, to stand. O Lord, do grant us thy help, we pray. Lest we should just be fair weather, so-called Christians, happy to own the name of Christ when all is fair and prosperous in worldly things. And, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to guide and direct us into the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, and to keep us from the temptation and the snares of the adversary. And, O Lord, as we have prayed for the places of worship and the assemblies of thy saints, where thy name is honoured and glorified, O Lord, we do pray concerning those places where, alas, there are so many now in our land where the word is not faithfully preached, the truth is not upheld. O Lord, there might be an opening of blind eyes, a delivering out of the idolatry and error. O Lord, and there might be those that are preaching error this day may be brought to preach the truth. Or those that are wavering, halting between the two opinions, that they may be directed, constrained in love by the power of the Spirit and the Holy Word, to come out from among them and be separate. O Lord, may there be that true reviving granted. Or those that are worshipping nowhere, O Lord, that there may be that true revival granted, an opening of blind eyes to see that there is a God in heaven, and there is a judgment to come, and there is an absolute truth. O Lord, that there is a remedy in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, look in mercy upon us as a nation in the degraded state. And O Lord, around wars, rumours of wars, earthquakes, floods. O Lord, surely these are the signs of the last times. It is not for us to speculate when the end shall come. May we be convicted in our spirit that these indeed are the last times, and that we should seek to be ready, to be prepared by thy grace and thy mercy. O Lord, grant us then thy favour. O Lord, do teach us. Grant, O Lord, thy mercy upon thy grace and thy blessing upon the children and young people. O Lord, that thou hast favour them and guide them and keep them in the truth, as the truth is in Jesus. We who are parents, grant us that wisdom to bring them upright, our children uprightly before thee, despite the evils and temptations in this evil day. O Lord, be with those who are older, those that are unwell, those that are struggling, cast down. O Lord, do indeed grant to truly feel that underneath are the everlasting arms, to help the sick, to help the lonely, the cast down. O Lord, draw near to them and help. The bereaved, do, O Lord, grant thy comfort and thy sweet presence. O Lord, then, to help any that are unable to come out to thy house, and draw near to them in their sickness, or in those that are caring for others. O Lord, we do pray. Grant thy favour. Help us now, we ask, and that all may be to thine honour, thy glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 740, 740. Lord, when I hear thy children talk, and I believe 'tis often true, how with delight thy ways they walk, and gladly thy commandments do. In my own breast I look and read accounts so very different there, that had I not thy blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. Hymn 740.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I particularly direct you to Job chapter 9 and verse 2. Job chapter 9 and verse 2. I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Particularly that latter part of the verse that's been upon my spirit. How shall a man be just with God? This is the answer of Job to one of his three friends who had come to visit him in his deep affliction. But why was Job in such deep affliction, in trouble? Sorely tempted, tried. It's all, firstly, in God's hand. God is sovereign. The Lord rules. And this is a teaching, a most vital teaching to each one of us. As you may be asking the same question, why am I in this trouble? We read concerning Job. In the beginning of the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. The word perfect signifies that his outward walk. One that feared God and eschewed evil. That is, he detested the ways of evil. And he was greatly favoured in providence, in his family and in all his substance. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, the perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Well, these things seem very mysterious. And to human reasoning, we cannot understand and we won't accept. But as we read in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. These things are for our profit, for our instruction. But we note in the word of God that before Satan speaks, it is God. And the Lord said unto Satan, we cannot in any way excuse the malice of Satan, but the word of God reveals that it was the primacy of God, the hand of God. All things, we read, work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purposes. And as we read through the book of Job, and those deep trials that the Lord permitted Job to go through, and Satan was given that certain powers and brought Job very, very low. Yet we read in the latter end, we read that at the conclusion of the blessing upon Job. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. We may say, see there the, in this a teaching for us. The Lord permits Satan to try us. Messengers of Satan to buffet us, like the Apostle Paul went through. The thorn in the flesh. The Lord, although Paul at first did not understand, and he confesses this, thrice besought the Lord to take it away. And it was the most grievous thing. For the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And we see here these things they permitted to come, and it's for our instruction, for our teaching. And that our latter end may be blessed more than the former. And ultimately that blessing is eternal in heaven in Christ Jesus. That we may know what is in our heart. The Lord is pleased in his sovereignty. It is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. Concerning the children of Israel, Moses recorded in Deuteronomy 8, and thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee. These 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So we must consider that in the context of Job and the words that we shall come to in our text. All is in God's hand. The devil could go no further than God decreed. And even though it may seem that the devil is running rampage, yet he can go no further than that boundary which God has set. And we see that boundary that the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, Satan could not take his life. And every true believer, every one who has that humble hope in Christ, Satan may appear, we look at it, he's running rampage, turning everything upside down. But in Christ there is a safety. Even though, like with the ark that Noah and his family are in, there was terrible destruction roaring around in the great flood and cataclysm, yet within the ark, safe. In Christ there is that safety. But it is the Lord's will that it is through much tribulation shall enter into the kingdom. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, saith the Lord Jesus Christ. And Job's friends, they came and they sat with him many days. And they saw his grief was very great. But his three friends, yes, they spoke a number of things that were truth. And Job answers Bildad here, I know it is so of a truth. There were those things that were spoken that were true. But they didn't apply them wisely. They accused Job of having committed various outward wickedness which Job had not done. They considered, well, if you're in some trial, if you're in some tribulation, distress like this, it must be because of some particular sin. Well, we see here a spiritual pride and a smugness, so to speak, with Job's three friends. And we read it in chapter 8. If thou art pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. And there the three friends standing there in their prosperity and health and standing in judgment over Job. Beware of spiritual pride. And if the Lord has been pleased to prosper us in natural things, and perhaps given a time of relative calm or ease, beware of spiritual pride. Beware of that haughty spirit of looking down upon those that are in trouble, those that are afflicted, those who are cast down. But Job's three friends, we read the inspired commentary upon them. When Elihu, who was not one of those three, but a younger man, but one who was endued with much grace and given that wisdom to speak not only part of the truth, not to misapply it, but to speak the truth. So these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was the kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, to the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Well, his three friends condemned Job but had not found any right answer. Job had fallen prey to that temptation of being righteous in his own eyes. Elihu reproved Job. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with the wicked men? For he hath said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Yea, and Job had fallen prey to an error, justifying himself rather than God. We read in chapter 16, the Lord, Job speaking concerning God, he breaketh me with a breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Not for any injustice in my hands also my prayer is pure. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. Yes, and Job was tempted to say things that he shouldn't have. Well, these trials that the Lord is pleased to bring, his chastening hand. It is to show us what is in our heart. The heart of man is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in the end, Job was brought to confess before Almighty God. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. And the Lord again showed more of his power and glory. And Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Just to bring us humbly before God and to confess that we are sinners and that his name may be honoured and glorified. So in our particular text, in chapter 8, Bildad, in his reproof of Job, he says various things which in some respects are truth. Yea, and Job says, I know it is so of a truth. About the hypocrite's hope being cut off. But alas, Bildad and Eliphaz before, in describing the cutting off of the hypocrite's hope, seem to have almost exactly described the trial that Job was going through, and accusing him, and again more explicitly later, of being a hypocrite. Yea, and we can fall a prey to these things. The disciples did. And our Lord reproved them and taught them otherwise in John chapter 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. It was not on account of a particular sin. As if those who were like the disciples, who could see ever so clearly, were somehow superior. But this was for the glory of God, that the works of God should be manifest. And how we need that grace to humble ourselves before God and to confess that, yeah, even the trial or trouble that we may be going through or have gone through, It's for the honour and glory of God. It's for our instruction, for our teaching. And to confess that if we had not been chastened, where would we be now? And it was the grace of God. For my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Bildad said in chapter 8, if thou, in verse 6, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee. If thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou were pure and upright, surely he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Verse 20, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Job says, I know it is so of a truth. But how should man be just with God? What his friends did not bring forth was the Redeemer. Job, even in the midst of his deep affliction and even in his wanderings in those things in which he said and some things that he said which ought not to have been said, but he still said this, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He still had that hope that there, against hope, there's that seed, a grain, small as a grain of mustard seed. That neither the devil nor any in his service or being mistakenly in his service, like his three friends who thought they were speaking good but they were not, cannot take away. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Yet Job asks this, but what? How should man be just with God? That is a vital question. Yes, truths have been spoken. Yes, it is true. God will not cast away a perfect man. Neither will he help the evildoers. If thou wert pure and upright, surely he would awake for thee. But the question is this, how shall a man be just? It is righteous, the word, the original, translated either way. How should a man be just or righteous with God? On the margin, translators note say, or before God. How should we stand before the presence of Almighty God? Yes, God is holy. Yes, God will judge the hypocrites and the ungodly. But how should man be just with God? Yes, there is a warning here about having the truth and misapplying it. Not just in judging others, but in judging ourselves. Judge not and ye shall not be judged, saith the Lord. And we have that need of that righteous judgment. And the word of God to guide us. Christ, who is the word, the light of the world. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How careful we have to be that we, as it were, have the truth, we have the word of God, we have a faithful translation of God's word in our language, and we thank God for it, but are we misapplying it, misusing it, ignoring it, judging others with it? May the Lord grant us that humility before him. The blessing, as we read in the New Testament, was always at the feet of Jesus. That place coming humbly. Indeed, there was the blessing in that latter part of Job's chapter. The blessing was in the place of humility, in the place of confession. Behold, I'm a vile. I repent in dust and ashes. And there was that confession and that offering of a sacrifice for Job's three friends as well. There, humbly before God, there is the blessing. There indeed is the key to that answer that question, but how should a man be just with God? He giveth grace to the humble. The publican found that key to the answer in coming to the temple, not judging others and not in spiritual pride, but God be merciful to me, a sinner, smiting upon his breast. Therein was the source of the trouble, his heart, his fallen heart, was deceitful above all things. And what works of the flesh had been wrought in his life. But he came humbly, seeking for mercy. But he came not despairing. Like Judas Iscariot, he confessed he'd sinned. Again, we don't want to be left short here. He won't save us to say, yes, I'm a sinner, I'm the worst of sinners. That isn't a badge of honour. It is with, sadly, I've seen it with some, to say about how bad they are, how terrible they are, how vile they are. Well, Judas Iscariot said, I've sinned and betrayed innocent blood and threw the money on the floor of the temple and went out and hung himself. We're not made just with God just because we say we're a sinner. We don't want to be left short there. It won't help us to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before God, and say, I'm a sinner. I'm the worst sinner. We need to retain, as it were, not just to be almost a Christian, but to know the remedy, to know the Saviour. But how should man be just with God? Well, I begin with the word man. In studying this, discover that it is not the word Adam in the Hebrew, but another word, Enosh, or something very similar to that. The word Adam, he first appears in the opening chapters of Genesis. But Hebrew Adam means a man. And Adam, or man, was made a living soul by the word of God. Man was made upright, but God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. But then we read of another word, which is the word used here in Job 9, verse 2, which first appears in Genesis 6. And is often both used, words Adam and Enosh are used throughout the Old Testament, but the second word appears in Genesis 6 thereafter. And it's derived, as I understand, from the word for incurable or mortal. Literally means a mortal, one who is dying. One who has that incurable disease. How should man, that one who is mortal, that one who is, that in all flesh is as grass. Read of that in the in 1 Peter chapter 1. For all flesh is as grass. Here, citing generally from Isaiah 40. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Yes, how should man, mortal man, dying man, be just with God? Well, a rather tragic reminder only a couple of days ago. One of the lads at my children's school, same year as one of my daughters, now gone on to sixth form. Thankfully, as one who professed and it understood, truly believed in the Lord, he died on suddenly in an accident only two or three days ago, age 17, suddenly. No warning. When we read here, how should man be just with God? That word doesn't just signify, like we might commonly use in the English, an adult male, a man. From the original word, it signifies a mortal, one who is dying. And that includes men, women, girls, boys. How shall we be just with God? This isn't just a question to put off until we're a bit older, till we've had our enjoyment of this world, and we're getting a little closer to the end of the road, and we must make some peace with God then. Thinking of the dying thief who at last repented and went to heaven. But remember, there was another thief crucified next to Christ who died cursing. He died unrepentant. Remember the second thief. We know not what a day shall bring. And how needful it is that we should consider prayerfully before God in the light of Scripture. How should man, that's mortal man, each one of us, how should man be just with God? That word just is righteous. It's the opposite to guilty or condemned. Just. But how should man, that is mortal man, be just with God? Well, this question was still being debated in Job. Sadly, in our day, these questions are not even so much as debated. All the entertainments and jollities of this life cheer us up to take no notice of these things. Eat, drink, and be merry. At least Job and his three friends were debating, discussing these things, which is more than many do. Even those that come to a place of worship. We read of one who cared nothing for these things. And may we not be in that place. In chapter 25, again we have Bildad saying, how then can men be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not, yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm? But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? And how savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counselled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? Well, Bildad said, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man which is a worm? Well, we read in prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, I am a worm and no man. And here we see the answer to this question, how should man be just with God? For the Lord Jesus Christ came. So this sin-cursed earth. The eternal Son of God took into union with his divine nature a sacred humanity, body and soul, was born at Bethlehem, laid in a manger. Well, the customary time of year is coming round and where there'll be many places of worship with a crib and a doll in it and supposedly depicting the birth of our Lord. And it's all nice and clean and lights around it and so on and all looks very lovely. Well, the manger is it's what the animals feed out of. As I've said before, when I was years ago travelling from where I used to live in Gloucestershire through to Chippenham and for a chapel and go past a place where there was a very clear view of a manger in the middle of the field. Having spent much of my time in the city or the town, in an arable area, I wasn't used to seeing what a manger looked like, but there you got a good view of it. Week after week. Sometimes the cows would be there. Other times it would be very wet and they weren't there, but it was the dirtiest and the muddiest place in the field. And I thought, and they laid him in a manger. But in no way was our Lord defiled. Though he came to this sin-cursed earth, though he was touched by the leper, though they spat upon him, though they nailed him to a cross, he's still the holy, pure and holy Lamb of God. Who made sin, wasn't made a sinner, who made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfil, firstly, the holy law of God. And it is by obedience there is righteousness. Without obedience, there can be no righteousness. It's most clearly taught in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Well, that is the righteousness, the law. But we have to prove how we fail. Even if we think we keep the law, we might do something very correct in the outward appearance, but within, heart is fallen. And then what about the rest of our life before, when we didn't keep the law? Or if we should fail, as we surely must do, fall the following day? We read in Romans chapter 3, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Yes, they might be justified in the sight of fellow Pharisees, and we might all congratulate ourselves. But God, it's before God. How should man be just with God? Yes, and we can all appear to be just with one another, and all looks outwardly right, and follow various traditions of men and the fathers and all of those things, but it's before God, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, the judge of all the earth. No flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, without the law, that is outside of the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who hath fulfilled the holy law of God. It doesn't mean to say that we can be lawless and totally ignore the law and think, well, I'm saved, I can do whatever I like. Well, the new man of grace must confess the law is good, the law is righteous, and that desire to follow in the ways that the Lord has spoken. But we have to say we have fallen, we've not fulfilled the law. We can't say that we're righteous because we've fulfilled it. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That's a sacrifice that ends wrath and brings about favour and reconciliation. To set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. But God is just. I'm reading a Psalm 85. There we see there is a meeting of justice, righteousness and peace. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other in Christ Jesus. For the Lord Jesus Christ hath fulfilled the law, and hath laid down his life a sacrifice. In the place is one true church, each one who shall be the redeemed of the Lord. He is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. As we read further in Romans chapter 5. For if through the offence of one, that is Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, that is just, before God. Through the Lord our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the answer. But how should man be just with God? Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Paul goes on to say, what shall we sin then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That work of redemption is in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And how is it that it is received? We see in Job. When Job confessed before the Lord in utter humility, I abhor myself in dust and ashes, in repenting, in that sorrow, that confessing of sin before him. In prayer. But how should man be just with God? And what a precious blessing it is to be like that. That publican went to his house justified. And the work of the Holy Spirit to lead, to guide into all truth. the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Where there is that justification, the just shall live by faith. There is surely a blessing with it, that joy and peace in believing. Not a boasting of our sins, but a glorying in the Saviour and his goodness, his mercy, his grace, to be clothed in his righteousness. Seeing that our own supposed righteousnesses are as filthy rags, dung and dross, that which is valueless, that which is of a stink, as it were, not a sweet savour. That in Christ Jesus, there we may know that acceptance before the throne of God. But how should man be just with God in Jesus? Well, we also must be aware of Satan has got various snares and traps to catch the unwary. When we deviate either from the right hand or the left from the word of God. I was caught in this snare for some time before the Lord set me at liberty from it. Wondering about how could I be just? When the Lord set me that liberty, the Lord spoke with beauty and power into my soul. Oh, then I was thinking, well, how I was to make a profession of faith, to come before the church. I haven't been at the chapel long enough, because I was only a student. I was a lot younger than any of the other members. I was too young, I was a student, I didn't know whether I was going to remain there or not. All sorts of things, and what about the testimony I was going to give? Does it measure up to this person or that person? Or this thing I've read here or there? Or, you know, the devil can tie us up in knots if we listen to him. And we forget about the simplicity in Christ. And we read of those who so clearly loved the Lord and confessed their sin and by faith, as it were, touched the hem of his garment to receive that virtue, felt that healing mercy. And that testimony wasn't some long, complicated one. Like the eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it was from the heart. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He was seeking that question. He was reading Isaiah. What we know as Isaiah chapter 53. And he needed to know of whom was the prophet speaking. It was vitally important. It was vitally important for his soul. And Philip preached unto him Jesus. And he was set at liberty. And he believed. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Be nothing. But it was true, it's real. How should man be just with God? Let us not give way to the devil and let him tie us up in knots as to the sort of testimony we ought to be giving. Well, there's only one testament that we must give, and that is Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And to come and to confess like Job, oh, I'm vile. Confess with repentance in sorrow that I've sinned. But to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, the precious and beloved Son of God, hath laid down his life, a sacrifice for sin, who fulfilled the holy law, has risen again and now interceding at the right hand of God. And to humbly say, it's for me. What a precious blessing that is. And in Christ Jesus, there by faith, we know the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. May we venture on his name by faith. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Sadler will address the Sunday school this afternoon, and the youngest class will be at Bethany. And Mr. Matthew Hyde will preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. The services will be held at the primary school in the school hall, and he will hope to administer the Lord's Supper. And as we've notified you, would you kindly take with you your personal effects by the time you leave the last service here? So today or on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. Hymn 941.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.